Okay, so does anybody have anything they would like to discuss or talk about, dream or incident or whatever?
Yeah, I'd like to at least introduce it tonight. I know I didn't give people a lot of time to read what I sent. And
I read it.
Did you send something?
Yep, I did. And again, I apologize that I really, we were away on the weekend. And this is an issue that Karen and I have been talking about for this since last week. And I set out trying to find what I was looking for in Roger's material to talk more about. Where eternal self and eternal being fit in. And in my process of tracking things down, as it usually happens, is that I opened up a whole neat thing that expands the knowledge and understanding that I had. So the order in which I would request people read this is one that starts with conditions of godness. Just familiarize with, if you can, familiarize yourself, and I'd say that for sure Simone what probably arrived on her email box as she was going to bed. But if you could...
Oh, I just opened it.
Yeah.
I
so that's why I think it would be not appropriate to try to talk about it yet. I'd really like people to take a look.
Yeah,
and
I didn't get it, so I'm going to have to look.
Headed,
what stuff
Monday,
that we had read previously, yeah?
Yeah,
all stuff
Monday
we had read previously.
Is what I've done is I've extracted from stem cells, aiming at the extracted stuff instead of the broader discussion of how stem cells function. I've extracted those things that point to who we are. And essentially universal beings becoming particular. And again, from the point of view of us folks that have stayed in here and are interested and continue our interest in forever living, I believe we need to have a really basic understanding of what Roger was telling us. And I think this piece or the extraction that I've done here really points to identifying who we are as universal beings. And if, you know, whatever else, you know, I'm at this point in time, I wouldn't tell any, like the new gal that's in our group, this kind of stuff quite yet. I don't think it's timely. And even for Eric and Terry, who have been around for quite a while, I'm not sure they're ready for this yet either. But
well, you know that Roger kept that away from you guys for a long time, too, because he didn't feel any of us were ready for it.
Well, same thing. That's right. That's a big leap. And so I would ask people to, if they're interested enough, to read this material and perhaps be prepared to go through a conversation or a discussion with me next week. What do you think?
I think that's fine. I don't know about the rest of you guys,
okay,
but I think it's fine.
Sure.
So it's neat. Every time I delve into any of Roger's stuff, with the understanding I seem to have today, it's a different bunch of material than I read however long ago stem cells came out. It's a different document to me today than it was then.
I find that with lots of them. I mean...
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just like I'm on a different level each time.
Yeah. So thank you, and we're at that. So that's what I have to offer today, and look forward to having a discussion about it next week.
Okay, super. Does anybody else have anything they want to discuss?
Not me at the moment.
I'm going to take that big silence
no.
as a no. Okay, then I guess we'll just jump right into this stuff. And we're picking up with Transcending, Transfiguring.
113.
Right.
Okay. So I guess I'll start. Transcending or Transfiguring 113. Passage 113. Let's see. In your life today, in learning, growing, and developing, are you transfiguring or transcending? Actually, would you rather transfigure or transcend?
Well, you got to realize what transfiguring and transcending are before you could answer that question. What do people think it is?
Right. Well, transcending usually, I think traditionally has meant going, you know, what, evolving or something to some higher state of being.
Right.
In my view, transfigure and transcend speak of two conditions of existence. Transfiguring is what I can do as a universal being. Transcend is something that I can do as a personal being. Transfigure means that I it kind of substitutes for the term change. Change is a loner body, personal being type of thing. Transfigure is, and I guess probably one of the ways I can describe that is that Roger always said he could take any side of an argument.
And boy, could he.
It didn't matter what it was. And that he transfigured the discussion in the process of doing that. It was that not matter of changing it. The whole essence of the conversation was different. Transcending says to me overreaching, and it can be a very desirable thing, or a skill or a trait to develop as a personal being, and that transcending struggle and limitation is probably a desirable thing to do and can lead to some improvement in experience of my life.
What do you say transcending does mean?
It's let's say I'm facing a problem or a challenge in my life directly, and instead of dealing with trying to overcome or deal with the problem directly, if I transcend the issue, I reach over and do something different that's not probably not even related to the issue in front of me. To me, that's different than transfiguring, and I may be talking up my...
No, you're doing pretty well. At least to me, transcending means... rising above, getting over, going to a higher level or something like that. And transfiguring is like a changing of a physical thing, a changing of a form or a changing of appearance, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Simone, would you do me a favor and turn down your mic?
My what?
Your microphone, your knocking out my recording. You're so loud.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have it the same as every time.
Yeah, well, I always have somewhat of a problem, but today I'm having a real problem.
Okay.
Okay, Karen, could you read 114 for us, please?
All right, 114. Do you really believe in transcending, meaning rising above or going beyond? Are matters in the universe naturally growing and developing, evolving, transcending? Are things getting better or finer? Or are matters merely transfiguring, constantly changing form and appearance? What is happening, do you know? As the world around you changes, is it transcending or transfiguring? And as the Earth changed over billions of years, did it transcend or transfigure?
So which did it do, guys?
I'm voter for transfigure.
Okay. Anybody else?
At this point, I would agree with Andrew.
Okay, because it's a physical thing, right? I'll agree with you. Anybody else?
Well, by the definition of that, transcending means rising above or going beyond just the world changing, like, I don't know, spring to summer to fall to winter couldn't possibly be transcending. Not rising above anything, it's just changing.
Right. True.
Have to be transfiguring.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see what he has to say. 115.
Mm-hmm.
This ever-changing universe is an ever-transfiguring universe. And you, being alive in this universe, are an ever-transfiguring being as well. For life is not evolving, it is transfiguring. So you're not getting greater or finer or rising above or any of that stuff. You're changing form, changing appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Patrick, could you 116, please?
116. Like it or not, you are not learning, growing, developing, nor are you evolving, unfolding, or transcending, or even becoming. You are transfiguring.
Okay.
Which means they are changing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty much a standalone statement there.
Is it better now, Misty?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we're on to Sharon, right?
Yep. 117. You cannot stifle your rage. Hold it in or overcome it. Nor can you transcend your rage or your anger and concerns, but you can certainly transfigure them to passion and dedication.
Yep.
The image is getting clearer to me now.
Yeah, he is making it much clearer. Okay, Simone, 118.
I do not understand. Stifle your rage.
Stifle your rage, your anger. Hold it in. Shut it down.
Okay.
You understand that passage now?
Yes, I can understand that. Putting down your anger. Yeah.
Would you read 118 for us?
Okay. 118. An emergent reality is not a transcendent reality. It is a transfigured reality. In the same way, your resplendent self is not a transcendent self. It is a transfigured self. Do you see the transfiguring process occurring through emergent? No matter what you want, or want to be or become. Through the emergent process of the universe, you can transfigure every aspect of yourself and life as that.
Becoming more
big
clear.
Statement.
That's a nice statement, I think.
I have again the image from the glass, half full, being filled with new stuff or stuff I am willing to do forever and ever, and the rest will fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me the ever changing and ever transfiguring emergent process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything they want to say on that one?
Yeah, I'm okay with that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 119.
Yep.
You constantly believe and think one thing, feel and attitude another thing, say something different, and then act and react inconsistent with all this. Yet, you desire other than that from yourself and experience yourself and life in an entirely different way. Why do you suppose this is? Your body cannot act without you. Are you living with a stranger doing all of these things to you, or is something else going on?
Hmm.
I never really considered before that I act and react inconsistent with feelings, thoughts, and everything else. Thoughts and you know, certain things I say for sure, but I don't know, feelings and such? Hmm. It was thought-provoking.
Well, yeah. Well, I can identify with that. The feel and think one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Feel and attitude another. Like, that's a crock of shit. But...
Mm-hmm.
I have an attitude, I really can't tell people that. And then I say something different. And then I act and react inconsistent. Well, you know, it'd be easy to be inconsistent with three different pieces.
Well,
yeah.
They even have a term for that somewhat, you know, talking out of both sides of his mouth. Remember that term?
If I had a third side, I'd be doing
right.
That too.
Yeah.
Can you also say walking your talk?
Yeah, walking your talk is being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying here that we're very, very infrequently consistent.
We're consistently inconsistent.
It is.
Ah, okay.
Body can't work without you. Are you feeling like a stranger doing all these things to you, or is something else going on?
Well, I think that all of us at times have felt like a stranger in our own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Karen, would you read 120, please?
120. As a personal being, you and your body are constantly sensing and reacting as a way to learn, grow, and develop, to transcend. While you and yourself as an eternal being are constantly realizing and making real, to transfigure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought it was interesting how he acknowledged the learning, growing, and developing phenomenon that we seem to believe.
Yeah, well, most of us are really engrossed in that. I mean, big time. And that's a hard one to
say. Well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, there's something you don't know, you go and you learn, grow, and develop. I think it was interesting, he put it over in the personal being side and then left the other aspect as the eternal making real, which, you know, for a long time he would start off things, or anyway, he would often say, you don't learn anything, you just rearrange what you already have.
Or expand it by the rearrangement.
Yeah, combine it. Mm-hmm.
So is that what we're doing when we go to research something?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't. Yes, but. See, I'm going to say yes, but. Yes, but I have not experienced it as in my life as something that I already have. I for whatever reason, I thought I didn't have, and I had to acquire it. But I think it's just more arranging and rearranging, combining pieces, parts that I have, or I'm not sure what that says about original, you know, a new thought or something that's not mine. Certainly, forever living is an exercise in thinking things that I personally never thought before.
Or are you just reminding yourself of thoughts that you may have had at one point but forgot?
Realizing it again, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
I don't know. Is that, Misty, what we're doing?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, if we truly have access to everything, then what we do is we just limit ourselves down and forget that we know all these things, that we have access to all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes
there's a difference between having access versus accessing. You know, you can have access to, you can have the ability to access things, but if you don't actually do it.
But isn't that what we're doing when we research something, is we're accessing something?
No.
No?
No?
I don't think so.
So what are we doing?
We're learning, growing, and developing.
Why do you say that, Pat?
Well, because I think access means I can directly access. I don't have to reach at all. I can just open myself up, and the information will flow, and I can realize that. Research says that I'm going to go find what everybody else has done and try to learn it and grow it and develop it to suit me. But if I have direct access, I open myself up just as we all do past life readings. We don't research that. We open ourselves up and the information flows.
Right.
That's what I think, that's the distinction.
I don't think that there is such a big difference.
All right, how so?
If I go on research something, then I put my focus directly on a subject I want to, let's say, know more about. And maybe I have a question, and I remember Roger saying, for each question that I have, I also have the answer. Where I do get the answer from? From myself or from Google or something, doesn't matter. I have the answer already. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the question.
But there, how is that researching?
I expand my actual knowledge, let's say like this. I put new constituents to what I have already. And this is a new and emergent.
I can see that.
Wouldn't you say that researching, whether it's on Google or in a book, is one form of accessing? I mean, Pat's talking about instant access. I just open my mouth and words fall out, but I think that there's many forms of accessing.
That's what I like to say. There is not the right way. Yeah, exactly.
And well, is accessing
and
that
developing
you, right. In an accessing that you transfigure
accessing.
It.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
In an accessing that information, you transfigure. The emergent is that you transfigure.
Yeah.
But you're not learning, developing, and growing. You're transfiguring. You may think that you're learning, growing, and developing, and there's the big problem. Is you think that's what's going on, and if you think that's what's going on, you've got yourself all bollocked up.
Yeah, just the Michelangelo picture came to mind. David was always there. He just brought it out of the block of, what was it?
Marble.
Marble,
yes. To me, everything is there, but I have to put the focus on something.
I think that's a good point there, Simone, because as we're talking, I think that sometimes you have to. I think it matters what question or what focus you set out as to what and how you get. I think an interesting example of that is, if anybody ever read any Edgar Cayce, I can't speak for what the man actually knew in his life, but as the books and the reports read, you know, he was pretty much had a sixth grade education. He had no medical knowledge, but when he would go into his sleeping trance states or reading states, he was more of like a sleeper kind of guy, a sleeper kind of psychic, and then he would just recite, you know, anatomically correct names for body parts and conditions and remedies and things like that, that it was all out there in the world, but not apparently in his realm of study. So maybe we can access, I don't know what you want to call it, academic knowledge or technological knowledge or whatever that we would normally research. Maybe we can access that directly. That certainly is not something I've ever done that I'm aware of.
Well, I think
we can access.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of people, like, they use tarot cards just to be the thing that allows them to have the vehicle to access. Others use books. Others use all sorts of things. Art, music, words, reading, anything. But still, they take that in and transfigure. They don't transcend.
All right. Yeah, I didn't ever think this was a transcending kind of thing, but it was just a question of learning, growing, and developing, or I guess how we get the information.
Well, learning, growing, and developing is trying to transcend, to overcome, to get past. Does that not sit well with some people?
No, I think that it's a pretty good discussion. It's helped clarify things for me.
I mean, I just remember the illustration, Roger, you used to use frequently was, can you build a nuclear submarine? And if you break it down, you would say, if you take any of the steps to building a nuclear submarine, you break them down to simpler and simpler. If you needed steps, you can pretty much arrange all of your knowledge to form a building a nuclear submarine.
That's right.
I just thought this was interesting the way he wrote it. It was like, I didn't know if he was acknowledging the personal being experience of learning, growing, and developing. I didn't know if he was saying that's the focus or the aim, or if he's saying that is the experience you have as a personal being, while as an eternal being you're just simply, which to me makes a lot of sense, the second part of that thing.
Yeah, I think that you could say that most people would look at it as growing, developing, whatever, learning, all that stuff. But just like we know that...
Earlier in one of these books, he did something. It was like, I thought it was an interesting and an unusual trick for him. He's like, in one statement, at one part of the statement, he seemed to acknowledge cause and effect as something that a, you know, a personal being's experience, and yet emergent as something that is also that. I can't remember the exact... I'm sure I marked it somewhere.
Yeah, but I think that what we could say is to... Everyday people, they think it's cause and effect, and what it really is emergent. But it doesn't mean that we have cause and effect. We don't. We have emergent. And I think this is the same kind of thing. You think you're growing, developing, and learning and all that kind of stuff, but you're not. You're transfiguring.
Right. Well, the interesting thing to me was the difficulty that, you know, you had... You know, we've all seen over years as, you know, try to get across an idea of there's no cause and effect. I mean, that thing, you know, was wrestled every time it came up. I was just wondering if he had, in these later writings, had decided, you know, screw it, we'll just go ahead and acknowledge that some people perceive it that way, but also recognize that that is not what's going on.
Yes, he did write that. People perceive it that way, but that's not what's going on. It's just that we know that that's not what's going on.
Or if he's saying that that's not all that's going on, is it, to me, in the effort to get it across, I just wondered if his approach to it had transfigured to the point of just saying, screw it, you know, I'm not going to argue this with them, you know, here, you know, is your cause and effect bringing an experience, we'll just acknowledge that that's there, but recognize that emergence is also going on.
No, it is what's going on. It's not also going on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know how he handled it.
Yeah. What he's saying is what appears to most people as cause and effect, we know it is emergent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when you decide to transfigure your understandings to emergent that you see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
I never could see that he in some way acknowledged cause and effect.
I don't think that he acknowledged it. He just says that that's what they think.
That I marked. Yeah. There was a passage I marked somewhere.
Don't go look it up.
Don't? Okay.
No. It might be a misunderstanding. I never heard him say that.
He never did.
He tried because-ing and be the reason of, and he tried all sorts of things to explain emergent.
No. Yes, he did.
No.
Okay. Shall we move on, or do people still have things they want to talk about that?
Nope. I'm ready to move on.
Okay. I'm fine.
I think it's my turn. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay. 121. Your transfiguring is to a moral or ethical matter, nor is it a matter of special power or unusual awareness, for transfiguration is a natural process of the universe available to everyone, no exceptions or conditions. In fact, you transfigure matters every day.
It was at the beginning of that, is that should be not.
I'm thinking that that...
Your transfiguring is not a moral or ethical matter?
I think that that may be true. I was thinking that as I went on.
Yeah, that's what I had marked
because,
here.
Because there is a nor, so you'd have to have a not for it to be a nor.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
So, your transfiguring is to a moral?
Is not a moral.
No, it's not.
Not amoral.
Yeah.
Oh. Amoral. Okay.
So it's going on anyway. No matter what we think is going on, it's going on.
Yes.
That was by the way, an odd pairing. Your transfiguring is not a moral or ethical matter. I never had associated transfiguring with moral or ethical, unless he's saying that, like, transcendent. People believe to transcend, you have to be spiritually creamy and all that kind of stuff.
Creamy.
I think that's along that line.
Ace Ventura.
I like that. Creamy.
Yeah. Ace Ventura was in, I think, the first movie at meditating to attain spiritual creaminess.
Yeah. Okay.
122?
Yep.
Yo, go.
Whether or not you realize it, you and your body, as a personal being, using sensing and reacting, transfigure all events and experiences from and to beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, including desires and knowledge to store in memories, to apply and embody.
Or
embody. But then it seems your embodied life is filled with resolving and overcoming, which you alone transfigured and continued. I got an image of somebody standing there and punching himself in the face and going, wow, now I got to do something about this.
You do that often? No.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. He fell off the ladder. You still there, Pat?
Is Greg there, falling off ladders?
No.
Oh.
He just all of a sudden went silent. We wondered what happened to you. Okay. Sharon, 123.
123. It is up to you to establish the transfiguration that will be yours. It seems you cannot control all the events in the world around you, but you certainly can decide exactly how you will transfigure those events. The same is true of conditions in your body and mind and life.
That's why two people can have the exact same scenario go on around them and have totally different experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do I fit this into my prearranged belief about the world?
Yeah. Roger used to talk about, like, a hurricane. Some people get all excited about it and everything else, and they transfigure it that way. Other people become horrified or whatever else, and others go into preservation mode and everything else. So, same scenario, totally different transfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Simone, take us on.
Okay. 124. You and yourself, as an eternal being, using, realizing, and making real, transfigure all matters and conditions, and store them in memory for additional expanded and extended transfiguring.
So you give yourself access to them.
Yeah. Memory why is the place to store it. Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And available then to anyone and everyone.
Right.
for everybody, yes. Who likes to?
Okay. Andrew? Just a little slower this time.
I like this one.
Okay, just a little slower so we,
so
we can take it in, okay?
Yep. Okay. 125. Unfortunately, whenever sensing and reacting conflicts with realizing and making real, you as an eternal being constantly defer to your body's way of sensing and reacting, and then struggle endlessly against what you sense, or try to transcend what you sense. Doesn't that seem foolish, especially since you have so many transfiguring senses of realizing and making real you can use?
What are
so you defer to your body's way of sensing and reacting. That's true.
We do.
What are so many transfiguring senses?
Question. I didn't think about it when I read it.
Well, it's got to be all of our senses.
That's how we take whatever we sense and transfigure it into something else, an understanding, a
right.
realization, or whatever. Does that make sense?
Again, I can't think of anything else, so yeah.
That's the only thing I can come up with.
Because the passage begins with whenever sensing, and then am reacting, conflicts with realizing and making real. That I just wondered what senses would be different from the first senses. And I don't think it necessarily are. I think it's in both cases then we're sensing, and when we're transcending, we're reacting instead of realizing and making real. So I think maybe the operative part is the reacting rather than just the sense.
Well, isn't that usually going to present an issue?
Which that?
Reacting. That reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how you know it's charged.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Karen?
When
is it?
Oh, sorry, go.
Oh, Karen. I'm sorry, I don't remember who read last. So. Sorry.
I did.
Andrew did.
So whoever's after Andrew.
Yeah.
126. Religion has you believing that your desire and power to transfigure as you desire is actually an act you must struggle against and placate with faith, while others frequently refer to this as the force and control of ego.
I could see that.
What is my desire and power to transfigure as I desire? What is my power to transfigure as I desire?
So you say it. Religion has you believing that your desire and power to transfigure as you desire is actually an act you must struggle against and placate with faith.
So what is that transfiguring as I desire?
free will, how you want the world to be.
How
you're
you,
supposed to give up what you think.
How you desire the emergent
to be.
Take
it on faith what religion says.
Where religion has you just totally in struggle and trying to believe that everything is about faith. If you believe...
Surrender it to Jesus.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Give it to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to drive you nuts. What the hell is that?
Okay. Anyone else have anything on that one?
Does that follow, Karen? Or does that make sense?
Yep, that helps. Thank you.
127. You have constructed, actually you have resurrected an old self in life based on religion and science, on myth and hope, and on fear and doubt. Isn't it about time for you to see and understand your power of transfiguration and apply that more awarefully in your body and life today? Or are you too fearful that your self in life might collapse to nothingness if you don't continue your old hopes and beliefs?
That's an interesting question.
Well, I can absolutely tell you that I have had concerns from time to time. I like if I went along too fully with this forever living stuff, my self and life would collapse.
And did it?
How much my life had been constructed around religion and myths and hopes and fears and doubts.
Well, those of you that were raised in that strict environment, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the whatever, what were you raised as? Some kind of very stringent religion. It becomes a real problem. Because you're so brainwashed by the time, you know, they say by the time, if I have you, by the time you're 7, I have you for the rest of your life. So it's a very hard thing to set aside and realize that something else is occurring.
Good reminder.
No,
it can be done.
I didn't hear either of you.
It can be set aside.
It can
be. It is possible.
Yes.
Even after the age of 7.
Yes, but for most, that is not the case. Okay, Patrick. Why don't you do 128.
It seems you won't let go of your old concepts of self and life to move into new awareness. Which is understandable, but worrisome. All of which creates a great deal of anguish in your body and life today. You've come to rely on science and religion or spirituality, or on your hope and fears for the personal eternal identity you've created for yourself. And you also depend upon your judgments of the world to add to your identity of self. You certainly wouldn't want to jeopardize that self, now would you? Oh, you really, really do want a new understanding of yourself and life. But you aren't actually willing to risk anything, are you? Maybe you have something to learn from the universe. Let's see.
Ooh, the setup.
I think you just summarized that nicely.
You want to take us on?
Begin again. 129. Nature, it seems, never abandons a good idea or wastes a working principle or process. The universe merely expands and extends those ideas and principles and processes into new and different matters and ways. Thus, the emergent action and principle of water is expanded and extended and transfigured into a process of life.
I think he's saying everything is emergent. Is that true?
That's what he's saying.
Seems like that.
Okay.
And there's no such thing as a bad idea?
Okay, Simone?
Yeah. Okay. 1:30. Emergent transfiguring is open for you today to follow and build upon, or you can risk everything to follow spiritual myths and teachings. I go with emergent transfiguring.
I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
Okay. Take us on, Andrew.
Okay, all right. 1:31. Science tried to supplant religion with its own creation story, but that gave way to technology that offers instant gratification, followed by long-lasting disappointment.
So neither
what are
of those
examples?
Sorry, I don't quite... Yeah, what?
I was going to ask, what are examples of...
Well, science tried to supplant religion with its own creation story. That's the Big Bang.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But that gave way to technology that offers instant gratification. That's all the technical stuff around us. But that's not giving us anything that helps us understand life or what's really going on at all. So none
no,
of
it sure ate up time.
Yeah, and it's eating up a whole generation.
Oh, anything to divert ourselves from the unhappiness we experience.
Yes, we're very good at that.
Amen.
Yep.
But to deal with what...
Cell phone users and stuff, smartphone texters, you have to always
our
be on...
other religions.
Well, for the youth nowadays, it's like their phone has become their religion. It's what
yeah, but I'm asking, is anybody in this group, you know, constantly on it?
Oh, no.
Constantly checking?
No.
Huh?
Not I.
I mean, I'm not.
No.
And I ask because I sit on the bus sometimes and I just look for people who aren't, you know, looking at their smartphone. Just to see if there's anybody, like, paying attention to the world around them.
Well, if I'm on a bus, I probably would look at my smartphone.
Okay.
It depends. Just depends.
Yep.
But, you know, like I have a gal that walks down the road that she's on her smartphone the whole time looking at things.
Who?
A gal that lives on the road. And
oh, okay,
I swear that she is so involved in that she could walk right into a car and get herself killed. That's how involved she is in her phone.
Uh-huh.
And you see people like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's you do.
They have various accidents.
It has become their religion.
Kind.
It's definitely become their religion. It's what they're all about.
Okay.
It speaks to them. It gives them all the information they need to do life. So they think.
Really? See, yeah, does it? I've begun to just wonder, like, it's just a wondering whether, you know, the amount of time someone spends on their mobile device is corollary to the amount of intelligence or awareness that they are using.
Well, I think it depends on whether they're using it as a tool for work or whether they're using it for social things. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think I guess I'm looking at the people who just use it to pass the time.
Right, because that's a whole different world.
Right.
So I think that the people that are involved in the social things, and I see them sometimes on Facebook where somebody has put like 20 or 30 things up in one day, and you're just sitting there going, "Oh my God," you know. Yeah.
Well,
have
if
they
good,
no luck?
Taking pictures of their breakfast.
Yeah.
And then pictures of their toothbrush. I don't really care.
Yeah, they do all sorts of things like that. And you're sitting there going, have they no life? And I've gotten to the point where maybe I'll quickly glance at it once or twice a week. That's it.
Mm.
Unless I get some kind of message that says, somebody messaged you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I miss a lot of things, maybe. I try to keep up with our group, the Emergent Self group, but other than that,
mm-hmm.
I could care less.
I don't even do it.
There's a lot of people that don't, and there's a lot of people that are pulling away from it more and more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're realizing that it's taking over their life. It's like they're addicted, like an alcoholic.
Yeah, I'm a little too private. I already have a business side. I don't want to expose everything.
Mm.
I mean, to and people you, I don't know, to people I know, it's not a big deal. But,
yeah,
you
well,
know, when
why
you
I
think
keep,
about...
Yeah, I keep my access, the people that can access me, limited.
Yeah.
I mean, I get people asking to be my friends all the time, and I turn them down.
Right, me too.
Me too.
Some of them, I think...
That's probably
perverts.
Why I don't do it. I probably wouldn't have good boundaries.
No, I see.
Good for you.
So where were we, and who were we?
131, the reason we got this sidetrack was because I was just curious... You know, I try to read these passages individual. You know, Roger always said that, you know, you could, that each, if you wrote them correctly, they weren't reliant on the one before. That was a little bit out of the blue for me. So I was trying to figure out what it had to do with. I think it was related to the one before, talking about, or you can live, you can follow myths, spiritual myths and teachings, and then it's maybe offering this as a new substitute or whatever, the new form of whatever we used to use for spiritual myth and teaching. I don't know. It just seemed sort of stuck out for me. I was just curious what it was about.
Well, don't you wonder how these kids are going to feel when they get to be, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old? I do.
Long-lasting disappointment.
That's right. That's what I think is going to occur.
Yeah.
You know, that old thing where they say where somebody's on their deathbed, and how do you think you did with this life? You know, I think that a lot of them are going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly weren't living as they truly desired.
I don't know. I think some of the younger people really are using it to their advantage to live as they truly desire.
There are those that do. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the people that are totally into the gaming and social media and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the passive rather than the creative use.
I mean, I use the computer creatively all the time. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's my library that I don't have to go downtown to access. Besides, our library sucks so bad that it doesn't have what
I
need.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
But it's just a beautiful access to information for me. But as
As long as it's serving you.
Yeah, I'm using it as a tool.
Instead of you serving it,
They're using it as a distraction.
Oh, yeah.
And they distract
There's
themselves.
They never get
here.
Things done.
That's right.
There's an
What's
interesting aspect of the so-called social media, and that when I look at the younger people, including my own daughter, is not all that young anymore, that she's in quite constant contact with friends. Like, I mean, real friends, not Facebook friends, but real friends. And then I look at Karen, who stays real in close contact with his daughter, and that there's a lot of what she does. She manages her relationships with people through communications. And it's not a matter that she's diverting herself. Karen uses it as a communications tool. So technology, and I recognize Roger's talking about it, the ones who are looking for the instant fix, but it's a broader subject perhaps than we're talking about now, that this level of communication, whether it's trivial, as I've seen some young people do, it seems to be supplanting relationship as I know it to be. Want to touch and feel and see the face and watch what people are doing. So it's probably aside, beside the point, but it's leading to some interesting stuff, I'll tell you.
Well, it just, okay, so to kind of pull it all back together, if, you know, make a connection on this, I don't know. But yes, I mean, I've seen examples of babies, right, who are shown the grandmother, whoever on the phone, or the aunt on the phone all the time, and when the aunt or the grandmother comes in person, kid doesn't recognize them. But if they go across the room and they go on the smartphone or whatever, they can recognize them again. I mean, my point is, you know, with relative to what we're talking about in this section, I mean, you know, how is that, how are we shaping our lives in that way? That reality or recognition is through a small screen. Which isn't a criticism, it's just to say, you know, what is it doing?
Yeah.
Or what maybe a better thing is, okay, fine, if this is perceived in some way to be a problem, what alternative do we have? Because I've also seen pictures from 1931 in like a New York Central Park where everybody along the bench has just got their nose in a newspaper.
Yeah, how much different is that?
Yeah, we have no idea what long-term this may produce, because even back then, children weren't sticking their face in the newspaper at 2.
All right.
And that's what we have now, is kids are seriously on cell phones and iPads and computers. I've been guilty of giving one to my grandson, you know, from about the age of 2 on.
So then I guess the thing to consider here is if it is in any way inhibiting our self-awareness of transfiguring and, you know, life. I guess it doesn't necessarily need to, but just the question is, depends on how we're using it.
I think you nailed it there, Andrew.
Yeah, right.
There was a point to the sidetracking, and you know, anyway, that may be what at least my thoughts are at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's up to bat?
Go to 132?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's you, ma'am.
Are you willing to live by options and transfigurations of your own choosing rather than by the alternatives offered by religion, science, and technology, or the next system of life? Or is this too big a leap or risk for you to take or even consider for you?
Yeah. Hmm? Or even consider for new? For now.
Yeah, I think so.
Got it.
So that's an interesting follow-up on our conversation of a moment ago, that or the next system of life that could include an outgrowth of technology, that is this the electronic social communication. So the question is, are you willing to live by options and transfiguration rather than these alternatives that include social media communication, for instance? But I suspect that doesn't exclude them either, but are we willing to transfigure them or just go with the flow?
Well, I think it depends on how we're using them.
Yeah. Well, options by nature, as Roger used it, was relative to self. It was very a self-aware consideration of things. Alternatives here is just going to be, yeah, whatever is served up.
Yeah.
Whatever the next agreed upon system, whatever the next packaged, you know, you want the answer to the universe, go look it up, you know, in either Oracle or whatever.
Yep.
So I think it's an interesting proposition. Then I guess, you know, we just have to figure out how we want to live options and transfigurations. Transfigurations is a little bit vague to me right now. But I know options can apply to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to me. Okay, so I'm going to use my smartphone. Relative to me, what is or how or does that serve me or whatever? What do I want to use this thing for? Hmm?
You have a smartphone now?
I don't. I'm still on the dumb phone.
So you've still got a flip. Okay.
Yep.
Are you afraid of it?
What? The smartphone?
Yeah.
No, hell, man, I'm just cheap. I paid $30 a month for all the communication I care to have, you know? I don't
okay.
want to be texting and crap. I hate texting.
Oh, actually, I love it over, I mean, but, you know, because you can do it while you're doing work.
Yeah. I've noticed, yes. Anyway,
yes.
Not to be sidetracking too much. Okay, where are we at with this?
Okay, we're 133. On 133. Certainly, it is possible for you to understand at this point that neither you or the universe are transcending, but through emergent, you are both transfiguring.
Whether we're aware of it or not.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, Patrick.
134?
Yes.
In order for you to understand what we are saying, each new idea must be imagined or demonstrated. Therefore, we must clearly describe what we are saying in ways and self-sufficient words that help you create images.
Mm-hmm.
And see these things for yourself. Of course, if you don't create the image, that's up to you. For you can follow your old images and the life, self and life you've been trying to change or transcend for years, maybe even for centuries.
Yep.
So I suspect that he's saying here, not only is this could be read as guidance to describe a transfigured idea, perhaps. New idea must be imagined and demonstrated, or therefore you must clearly describe. I think that is the advice that we should also do that for ourselves. Clearly get a clear image and demonstrate it for ourselves.
Mm.
What do you mean, to prove your old views, or?
Yeah, this one way to read this is, if you want to communicate a transfigured idea, then this is what you got to do. But I'm also saying that this is good advice to even be aware of what we're transfiguring ourselves by seeing our own clear images. I think got to do that before you can describe it to somebody else.
Certainly. And that's where a lot of imagination comes into stuff, too.
Yeah.
To be able to clarify it for yourself. And then to be able to share
mm-hmm.
it.
All right.
So I'm a little confused, because isn't this a doing? Or is this an emergent?
Well, doing and emergent aren't the same thing.
Okay.
Doing is a constituent. Emergent is what comes out of that.
Yeah, emergent is after the fact. But what are you talking about? Creating an image?
With intention, yeah.
Well, yeah. So those are constituents.
Well, with intention,
I don't know,
just
the image that comes as emergent.
Just means it's a focus.
Okay.
you're not trying to cause anything, but you're placing a focus in a certain way and allowing the image to flow. Imagination.
Okay. I mean, I was just directly thinking about my thought process of holding my cancer confined, you know, all the way up even to the point of surgery. And so that's, you know, what is that? Because I held intention, but
you held focus.
I wanted an outcome.
You held focus and you desired an outcome, but the emergent is still all the constituents together is the emergent. You did not cause
right. I had to allow it to be what it was, but
you didn't have to allow it to be what it was at all. You had to just put in constituents. To allow something to be means that you're a victim to it.
Well, no, it was there. It was just there, and okay.
You couldn't deny you had cancer.
What's that?
You couldn't deny the cancer. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I already felt like I had the cancer before it was discovered, and so because I hadn't felt like that before, and that's and so when they finally discovered it, I mean, what I was doing was holding intention that wherever this problem was, because it is true that when you do have cancer, you don't know where it is because it disguises itself. So it's really an energy. I just held that in a visualization, especially once I knew where it was, to hold it confined to keep it from traveling anywhere. And so I think that's important for people to do, and so I'm just sort of going, okay, I don't know what that is, but I do believe it works. And I believe the intentions that we tell our body work. So is that knowing how to create I can't remember what you called it, an emergence?
Well, you can't create a particular emergence, but you can create a constituent.
You put in constituents?
So all you live is constituents.
That's all.
Living constituently. In that regard, Sharon, there's like, to me anyway, there's so many things going on, right? So we couldn't say for sure that just holding the image per se was all you did, but that could have been a constituent.
Okay.
Or, when, you know, since you did it, it was a constituent of something. But, you know, whether we could say, here, do this and get that effect, I don't know that that is...
Right.
You did all sorts of things, your attitudes. Your attitudes, how you took care of yourself, your thoughts, all those things went into it.
Yeah. And that ultimately that's what leads to the transfiguration.
Looking backwards, reverse viewing, you might say all of those things you did and this occurred.
Were.
But I don't know that you can say that this leads to that simply because errant doubt, missed action, one different choice, and all the other things that they don't, you know, it doesn't matter, that they don't add.
Well,
up.
It would also be cause and effect if it were done that
right.
way, and it isn't. So,
right.
yeah, I understand.
Right.
Anyway, we don't have to go on to that. I should always talk later. Anyway, because I don't want to make it about me.
No, but if it helps you understand, it's important.
I was just trying to understand that.
Yeah, if you're trying to understand, it's important.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess just the discussion, I would say, to me, it's like it's saying slight, the passage is saying something slightly different than that. That's all.
Well, please explain that statement.
What was the passage again? What was the number?
134.
And you were asking about what part of this, saying the idea must be tendency of four. Oh, you were asking about creating self-sufficient images or creating.
Well, yeah,
and
he's saying here that the images, you have to have images of yourself, of your life. You can image this, and that's was wondering about when I hold image with the human body, that we can change, that we can give the message to the body to change or improve. I believe we can do that, and the body responds on a neurochemical basis to our attitude. But yes, it responds even better if we eat the foods that give those, help those signals of what we want to create.
But there's so many more than that. Your emotions, your attitudes, you know, every thought,
absolutely,
everything.
Yes, it's layers and layers.
I think the problem with it is that this everything we've been reading so far is saying whether you understand it or we understand it or not, transfiguring is going on anyway, and that we're living our lives trying to make things happen. But transfiguring is what's going on anyway. If we hang on to the notion that we can make things happen, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment perhaps, for struggle perhaps, or any number of things about how we may feel about how our lives are going on. Because in any event, it's all going to be emergent. And the notion, I don't think anybody tried harder to heal his kidneys than Roger did, that there is a point perhaps when the body is so engaged in whatever it's doing that it's not going to respond in to our best of intentions. So I think this is a really important exercise about living emergently. I've never been seriously ill, so I don't know what it's like to live that. But I can imagine it's a bit scary, and we want to do everything we can. But when it's all said and done, that which we describe as outcomes are all going to be emergent. We don't really have any direct control on them.
Right.
Okay, so is it your turn to read, Sharon?
Yes.
Are we on 135?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, didn't. Is it possible you have been following old images of yourself in life and ways for so long you've come to believe they portray your true nature? How did you create that belief? Do you know? It was emergent.
You know, so maybe that relates to our prior conversation there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 136? Okay. Actually, how do you create any belief? you believe, but you don't seem to know how to create the belief. Have you ever given any thought to this? Of course. To do that, you'd have to know how to create a thought. Do you just change your focus? Oh, I do an echo, huh?
Yeah, big time.
Of course, if creating a belief is creating a thought, is changing your focus, how do you know that? Oh, how do you do that? It seems that if you want to change your focus, you must create an image or new image to focus on.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, 137. The image you have of yourself in life is quickly destroying you. Well, that's a statement. And you seem to know this. That's another statement. Yet it doesn't appear as though you are willing to change the image you have of yourself in life. What are you willing to do about that? Anything? Is creating a new image of yourself in life really so threatening? If so, why do you suppose that is? Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think that threatening thing is there. It doesn't make sense necessarily when I think about it, but it's somewhat what we said earlier. It's like if I gave up everything I knew, well, what would happen?
It's an unknown.
Would I be crazy? Mm-hmm.
What you have already is very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Could I perform in society? Could I carry on a conversation? Would I just be, you know, Fruit Loops? I don't know.
I think none of us know.
Of the TV and eat Fruit Loops, yeah.
Well, I meant more like how it taught people to think this guy's a little bit crazy.
I'm telling you, I think that what I do works, and I think that everybody can learn that, and I think it may not make us live forever, but it sure takes out a lot of the problems that we have along the way, health-wise, is to really just be aware that your body can heal itself, and that your mind has tremendous power over what the body does.
Okay, well, just as food for thought, Sharon, since this was number 137 that started off, the image you have of yourself and life is quickly destroying you, just, that inspires me to ask in anything that we say at this point, no matter how innovative or revolutionary it might seem, what if that, too, is an old image of self that we are living? This passage kind of pushed me when I read it, even to thinking beyond. I mean, gosh, that's really hard to do, right? To push myself to think even the things that I.
It absolutely can be.
Proud of.
Yeah, I absolutely know that this, it may be an old system. There's
mm-hmm.
something strange, and I'm not saying it's necessarily cause and effect. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's something that happens chemically mm-hmm. that you can release in your body, and that may be cause and effect in terms of your mind being able to have that control over this physical body or that communion with it. I do believe we do have a communion with the physical body, but is that cause and effect, or is that the trickery of learning how to move your arms?
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just, and I don't want to get into this.
Yeah, anyway.
Too much.
You know,
just, no, what I'm saying is I didn't bring that up to suggest that what you're saying was not so. It's just, even in that, this passage challenged me to think, push even beyond what I think. If that's an old image too, then what else is there that I could, you know, live and create? This passage, you know, I will read this for 100 years, and I will always run across that passage, and it will always make me think, no matter where I'm at.
And soon the new way may come along, or the new information that we need may come along.
Yeah, right? I mean, what is that? What if I don't even know where to start right now? I don't even know what that new image would be. But no matter what I'm doing, what if, you know, I think Roger did that too. But I mean, what if...
I do a lot of feeling in the dark when it comes to medicine.
Or just set a direction for myself and say, okay, here. I'd like to push further than this. I'd like to see if there's another image for me that I really desire to live out there.
It'd be interesting to have feedback.
Start to focus. Just set the focus and keep going, keep pushing. So that's all. That's the only thing I was responding to in that discussion.
Yeah, I totally understand.
And I'd like to throw something in here, because again, a bunch of the stuff I was looking at earlier.
Yeah.
That each one of us is a universal being particularized in this life.
Yeah.
And from our perspective, not Sharon, not Pat, not Andrew or Karen, that body identification, the universal being continuing is a non-issue, absolutely non-issue. And
how are you using universal being?
That's what we are.
I don't know what that means.
Before we entered this body, and I mean we as universal beings, we existed as universal beings and took the action, or it's emergent as the existence of a, Roger referred to it as the condition of godness, that we came alive because we embodied, because we wanted to test or experience new ways of being that couldn't be done in the non-physical realm.
Or the universal physical, yeah.
All the conversation we've had for the last 15, 20 minutes is all body focused. And it's, you know, it's appropriate, but it may miss the point about the image of yourself.
Mm.
Are we simple bodies that we're going to struggle with keeping alive as long as we can? Or are we something other than that, and this body is a vehicle for us? Because we're not the body. We're communion with the body, but that isn't us. And that the image you have of yourself and life is quickly destroying you. Of course it is. And we seem to know this. That we're this body, and it's going to die. Mm. It's frail, and it falls apart, and it does all these things. And of course we're going to have it. If you've got that image of yourself, it's exactly what it is. We seem to have, and I include myself, seem to have a lot of problems seeing ourselves as universal, eternal beings that happen to be embodied at this point in time. And so it's given that, from that perspective, that first line of 137 makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yep.
We see ourselves as bodies that are going to go away. And we talk about eternal and universal existence. But we talk about it. It's hard to really live it, or has been for me. So that's what I wanted to add to this, and that's what we call it.
It's a good add. I like that. So my Pat, my question is, please, can you just like give me your image of what a universal being is?
universal is life itself. And life itself is hard to use language here properly. I have an image of life being able to perceive beyond itself and know that it's limited in experience and desires further experience and realizes it must particularize in order to experience more than it does. We've all heard the notion about, since God is all things, God cannot know one thing.
Uh-huh.
It's all things. Life appreciates that, and to experience more than it can experience in its current form, realizes that in particularization is necessary. And once that particularization has occurred and embodiment takes place, then there is a particular identity that exists. That's my view.
Alright.
And that all this stuff, you know, that I've heard you, Andrew, speak of it fairly succinctly for me, about Roger telling us at some point in time that, you know, this is the first time you've ever been and will never be again. Get over it. That's the first time, and when it's done, it's over. You articulated that finer than I just did. But that's because of this particular identity is tied up and develops through communion with the body that ends up being terribly meek and particular to that communion. But the universal, they say, the whole notion of whether or not it continues is irrelevant. It's universal will continue. And the notion that there's somehow a continuation of past is, that it's an old-fashioned image that is quickly destroying me.
Okay, on my deathbed, am I supposed to be giggly and happy because I'm going on a new adventure?
Sure, if that's what you'd like.
I guess that's what I'm going to have to do then, because I don't think I want to accept it any other way.
But there is that's the beauty of the whole damn thing. How do we want to transfigure?
Yeah.
How do you want it to be?
I do think we need to plan for it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm getting old enough now that I'm getting quite comfortable with the notion that there will be an end of this body, and that's fine. I don't even wonder when it's going to be particularly, but I just know it's not all that far away compared to how much this body has lived so far. But it's the part that seems to be most important to me now is following my emprise as closely as I know how and can. That gives me my identity. I feel really comfortable with that. I actually feel fulfilled and meaningful. It's a great point of view to have. And that's what transfiguring, I think, is all about. We get to make it as we want it. And it's an ever, ever blossoming thing that we never know what's going to happen next. But it always seems to be a new opportunity every time something happens next.
Okay, are we ready to move on?
Yes,
was a good push. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Pushing the mind. Okay.
So I believe it's my turn. 138. Have you ever considered that changing yourself in life while holding on to an old image of yourself is impossible? Yet changing the image of yourself even while holding on to yourself in ways changes everything.
That requires some thinking there.
Yeah, me too.
Have you ever considered that changing yourself and life while holding on to an old image is impossible, yet changing the image of yourself, even while holding on to yourself in ways changes? Okay, so basically the operative there is the switch from change. The image seems to be the key that turns the lock there.
Yep.
It's self and life and image.
You're changing your image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good catch.
You never change yourself.
Change your image.
Yeah, you only change your image of yourself.
And form follows image.
All
right. And I know. There is no cause and effect.
That's correct. I agree.
Okay, Patrick.
Are you there?
139.
Huh?
It's your turn, Patrick.
You hadn't responded, and I wondered if you had dropped off.
Nope. 139. Go, Pat, go.
No, it's you.
It's not me.
No, I just read. So it's your turn.
Self-preservation is distressing you, devastating you. Are you willing to trade self-preservation for imaging yourself transfiguring? If so, everything in your body and life, even if they remain the same, will change dramatically and be stochastic. Everything, which is a word for a system that is random, without intention, yet purposeful.
No kidding. Okay.
Neat word.
I thought I had finished this whole section, but apparently I hadn't read that one. That was new to me. Okay.
So that whole thing, we're trying to self-preservation, no matter what, going to hang on to it.
So it's an interesting kind of, this is a new idea for me. I haven't heard before or really considered, but he's basically saying, he's focusing on I think I'm hearing this correctly, is that he's suggesting that we focus on working with our self-image rather than trying to change ourselves.
Yeah, I would agree.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
But that's interesting because I don't believe we ever even discussed that before in our Monday nights. Maybe we did, but it's new to me.
I don't think it was ever put this way, but backsiding everything he was suggesting.
Yeah, the idea has been there all through.
Everything he was suggesting. Was ways of generating a new image.
Yeah. But it was never really paired with the whole struggle of preserving oneself.
He always said that you basically keep the same person. Keep being the same person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad you said that.
You don't change yourself. No.
I don't know if he was being truthful when he said that, in terms of, I thought sometimes he would also say it sarcastically.
Mm.
What is this that you're talking about?
To be yourself, to be the same person.
Yeah, my recall is he pushed us like crazy to change ourselves, and we'd get mad when we didn't for a while.
Yeah, I don't... I don't think that you look the same, but you aren't the same, is what he has always said.
Right.
Hmm.
everybody else will still perceive you as who they always thought you were. But you know
right.
that you are other.
Right.
We can snicker at them, at their misapprehension.
All right. Okay, Sharon, take us on to 140.
140. Is self-preservation vital to you because you sense that something important will come along and you want to be here for that? If so, why not live what is vital to you and let self-preservation rest in peace?
Now, I have a different take on that one.
Yeah.
For me, it's always, if there is no some form of continuing, then everything is utterly meaningless. Well, you may enjoy it right now and savor it now, but you won't remember that savoring or anything. Nor would you remember suffering and struggling. So, I don't know.
How is that different?
Yeah, I'm confused at what you're saying, so.
Yeah.
Self-preservation is vital because you sense that something important will come along.
Yeah, that you want to keep living so that you'll be there for that. Yes. And he's saying,
I guess I heard it different.
Now.
Yeah, that's fine. I heard it different. Okay. I guess I'm not thinking of anything. Well, maybe I am. Okay, never mind. Keep going.
Okay. Simone?
141?
Uh-huh.
Instead of living the images of yourself as an eternal illuminated being called resplendent, you function yourself and life by habit. But unfortunately, this habit not being one you desire or prefer constantly discontents you. Does it seem wise to continue these ways?
And Simone would say, well, no.
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 Okay, Andrew.
Okay, 142. An eternal self images a personal self, so that personal self can image and live as an eternal self. So a resplendent, illuminated self can be emergent from the constituents of personal self, eternal self, interacting and functioning together. In this process, there is no real or necessary beginning, which enables you to begin anywhere at any time you desire, and there is no ending to interrupt this process.
Begin anew in every moment. Yeah.
Okay. 143, Karen?
143. Beginnings and endings are language constructs and have nothing to do with life. So let's consider this process from a different perspective, that as religion proclaims, God imaged humans so they could image God. Are you beginning to sense the magnitude of this transfiguring emergent process available to you? Catch that typo in there?
I did. I got it. It's all marked up.
Where is typo?
From.
From instead of form?
Second line.
Here, yeah. From.
Well, I guess that's a perfect place to stop for the evening.
I think mm-hmm. we're at the end of that chronicle.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So next week we'll start up with your discussion, Patrick. and
yeah, let's, if we can, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, and I did not receive an email, so maybe you could resend to me.
What is the best email to get you?
MistyMissler@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Or emergency.
I think
self.
I sent that one to Abiding.
Oh, it's over in Gmail. Yeah, I almost never check that one.
Okay, I'll send it right away. As soon as we hang up, I'll send it to Hotmail.
Yeah.
Hot Misty.
Right.
Yeah. Gmail's just my...
Super duper, thanks, guys.
Once in a while.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. And we will all talk again next week. So, good night for now.
Yes.